Well, good morning. Glad all of you are here for us this morning. Yes, kids, go do your thing. I encourage you, too, about the Nigeria team, is if you haven't been following the blog, you can definitely go to the website and read all the details that Dusty's been able to post. Has he posted anything since about Thursday? I didn't think so. If you need live and in person, though, you can talk to all the family members. They've been talking to the team, and Audrey and Stephanie and Lynn have been talking with the team. But if you kind of want to catch up with where they've been, go to that blog and read it. Some good stuff in that blog. And yes, next Sunday, Dusty will be back, and as well as the team. You know, Daniel, I can take that kind of personally, but I'm not going to do that, okay? That kind of hurts. I gave you a ride this morning, Daniel. Yeah, that kind of hurts. Ali, Daniel. Yeah. So, but they'll be back, and next week they're going to be sharing. Okay, the team's going to be sharing stories and the way God moved over this past 10 days. So I just want to encourage you to be praying for them, but keep that in mind next Sunday. Also, I want to encourage you, the cards you have, if you have something on your heart that's just already burning and you just want to be putting that down on your card, go ahead. That's fine to go ahead and do that this time. I won't consider it rude. I mean, I know I come in here some Sundays and I'm just really needing to do some praying and be prayed for. And I know that there's things probably on your heart, maybe from this past week that's happened. You just go ahead and put those down. That's fine. If you have some new information on those cards, go ahead and do that. That's okay too. So that's cool, okay? Well, I'm going to pray for us and then let's get started. Father, we just welcome you this morning. Father, your goodness is very evident. Lord, the sun has come out this morning. Lord, we thank you for moving in our lives this past week. Father, there are things you did for us that we have no idea about. That your grace is enough, and it was because of your grace and through your mercy that you did things in our lives and through our lives, Father, that we will only know in eternity. Father, you do those things because you do love us, and you desire that very personal, intimate relationship with us. And I thank you for that this morning. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And I pray your blessing on this time. It'll go quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Which that reminds me of my first thing. We were singing, Let the Poor Man Sing. I'd encourage you tomorrow morning when you get up. Part of the words of that song is, Come, Holy Spirit, move in power. I'd encourage you to do something tomorrow morning. You can do it when you get home today. That's fine. But you might need something to focus on tomorrow morning. When you get up, pray that for yourself. And then wherever you go, pray that. Ask God, come, move in power here. Move in power. Let the Holy Spirit come. And just be open to what God might have for you, beginning with yourself, though. But I'd encourage you to do that. That's not just something we sing on Sunday morning or you maybe happen to sing during the week, but just begin your weekday with that. It's a powerful thing just to open yourself to the presence of God. I believe it can change your life and it can change the lives around you. So I'd encourage you to do that tomorrow morning as you begin your day. It's a way to begin the day worshiping God, okay? All right, John, where are we? Got a PowerPoint up there? Well, you guys know that we've been going along the last few weeks about the values that define us. And the last few weeks we've been looking at that. And this week's value that we're looking at is you can't go to church. One of the things that I want to emphasize this morning to us as a body of Christ is this. If we can recognize what I'm getting ready to say personally and then corporately, I believe Savannah, America, the world would change. So listen carefully. That what we do affects others in such a powerful way that I believe eternity hangs in the balance on an ongoing basis in our lives. That what we do isn't just arbitrary. That the way we make our choices, the way we go about letting values dictate our lives on a daily basis matters. And eternity, heaven or hell, hangs in the balance. And it's a very real thing that we can't just slough our lives off to say, well, that didn't really make much difference. Yes, it does. It makes a lot of difference. And we're probably only going to see the difference that it makes one day in heaven, who is there and who isn't there. But it matters. It affects eternity, what we do every single day. The choices we make, where we go, where we spend our time, it really makes a difference. How many times have you had that desire or that impression upon you to make a phone call, send an email, go see somebody, and you've kind of put it on the back burner, but then you finally go through with it, and you're so thankful that you did, that you recognize, wait a second, that must have been God doing that. That must have been God. And once you were obedient, you saw the fruit of your obedience come to fruition. Well, I want you to realize, as we look through these values, we look through today's values, it does matter. Eternity hangs in the balance in all of our lives, all the time. The devil doesn't take a day off. God doesn't take a day off. We don't get a day off from being a follower of Christ, do we? Do we? Do we get a day off? No, we don't. So as we look at that this morning, I want you to realize that eternity hangs in the balance as we look at this value. John, go ahead and go to the next slide. That slide said you can't go to church. But this morning, I want to look at something as part of that. Why you are the church. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, you are the church. It's not a suggestion. It's a part of who you are. And that's what we're going to look at very briefly this morning. You're going to be happy, especially the teenagers. You know one of my notes this morning? Go through sermon quickly. I wrote it down. My writing. I wrote it down. Go through sermon quickly. Okay? And one of the things I read as I told myself that is this. I think what I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe with my whole heart, you already know it. You just got to be it. You just got to step out and say, this is who I am, and come heaven or hell, I'm in it all the way. I am in it all the way. So why are you the church? First point, John. It's part of your identity. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. So here we are, many parts. You know that. We've told you over and over, you have gifts to offer. You have talents to offer. You have passions to offer. It's part of who you are because that's who God made you to be. You already know it's not about a certain location. You know it's not about a certain building, the address. Church can happen wherever the church is. You know that. You know that it's not about a time or a place. And it's not about being an organization. It's living. It's alive. Now, I would say this much as a challenge to us, just as much a challenge to me as it is to you this morning. If we went to those outside the church that were hanging out at the park this morning, and we went up to them and we said, hey, is the church alive in America? I'm not so sure we would get a resounding yes. I think we would probably get a various answers, but I don't think we get a lot of people that were like, yes, it's alive and doing well. But it is part of our identity because we make up many parts, but there is one body. We're going to hear stories next Sunday, aren't we, about the body that's in Nigeria? Just like we hear stories about the body that's in Japan, that's all around the world. They're part of us. And one day we're all going to be together in one place. But it's going to be so cool. But part of your identity that does not change is you're part of that body. Okay? Thankfully, I can't mess that up. Thankfully, that if I make a poor decision today, I'm not thrown out of the body of Christ. That God's not going to say, get out. You messed it up. Because it's part of my spiritual DNA that I am part of the body of Christ. Second one, John. It's part of your nature. Why are you the church? Because it's part of your nature. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is separate and necessary part of it. You're a necessity today. If you're struggling with feeling like you're worthless, or you have no purpose, or that there's nothing you can give to someone else, then you're calling that scripture a lie. Because that scripture, Paul told the Corinthians, you're a necessity. You're important, just like the air we breathe. Just like the air that we breathe. It's a necessity. Can't live without it. We, the body, we don't want to live without you. Because you are necessary to it. Because when Jesus left this earth, what did he leave here? Us, didn't he? Us. Now, there's lots of days I would not have chosen me. Truthfully, there are a lot of days I wouldn't choose me. And if you're honest, there's probably days you wouldn't choose you. Okay, I don't always have a good day all day long. Okay, there are just some days that just seems like something is out of sync. But that does not change the fact that Jesus left me to do what I was called to do. Understanding my identity. seeing this as part of my nature and understanding I'm necessary. Okay? I am necessary. You are necessary. God is present with us 24/7, isn't he? Your necessity is 24/7. You're important 24/7. John, next scripture. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:6. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does all the work through all of us. It's the God who does the work through all of us. He's working through all of us. He's working through you today. Think about all the different stories, if we had the time, that we could all tell this morning about the things that have happened in our lives this past week. Think about all the places we went. Think about what could be added to our testimony, was added to our testimony this week, because the same God was working in all of our lives differently in different places at different times, but it was for the purpose of seeing Him glorified and seeing His kingdom advance. But part of your nature is that the God of the universe is working in and through your life. Do you recognize it though? I mean, do we really take time to recognize it very often? He never changes, does He? He's never going to stop trying to use us. And part of that too is this. We need to understand that it's part of your nature is it's wherever you go all the time. Now, we meet here in large group on Sunday morning, but we consider ourselves a two-wing congregation, meaning we meet in large group and then we meet in smaller groups in homes around town. And so we do both and, the larger body and the smaller body. And it's part of your nature. You're a necessity in both. You really are. You're a necessity in both. That way you've been gifted and the way you've been talented is a necessity in both. John, third one. Why you are the church. It's part of your purpose. I hope you already knew that. All right, it's part of your purpose. It says in Acts 1:8, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know this. I know this. We are the vehicle delivery system for the good news of Jesus Christ, aren't we? Okay, you know tomorrow morning, that's not going to change. Okay? Just because you're going to be somewhere, well, probably some of us will be at the airport together, all right? Some of you will probably already be drinking your coffee, hanging out there. So some of us will be together on Monday morning. Well, we're not normally together on Monday morning, but the purpose does not change, does it? When we're at that airport tomorrow morning, it doesn't mean we're just there to greet the guys and Megan that we missed, and Leslie, that we missed and love and are back home, okay? Our purpose does not change while we're there. To be open to the move of the Spirit of God and to be used by Him in any capacity there. We might run into somebody who is in dire need of just a word of encouragement. I promise you, when they get off that plane tomorrow, all of them, they're going to be looking forward. Yeah, they're going to be looking forward to seeing their families, but they're going to be looking forward to seeing us too. Because why? Because aren't we their family? Yes. That doesn't change. Part of our purpose, as we go where we are, we tell the good news. It's as simple as where we are, there we are. Or what are we going to do with it though? So the church is the means that God the Father has chosen to share the gospel with the lost. You and I are this vehicle that God is using us. So the reason you can't go to church is because you are the church. And so where you are, the church exists. How the church does, I believe part of it is up to our listening to God, hearing God, and being obedient to what God is doing in and through our lives. I promise you this much. One of the things that they will probably tell us some stories about our Nigerian team next Sunday will probably be, you will hear this word at least used, I would say at least once. If not, I'm sure as the days and weeks unfold, Dusty will share this and Kenny will share this, is how the church in Nigeria keeps it simple. Well, guys, we keep it simple too. We believe in the relationship between God the Father, Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, and with one another. And that right there, part of that purpose of going and telling others, should be the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to complicate it because it's simple for you. It's simple to you, and it should be simple through you. But guys, part of your identity, it's part of your nature, and it's part of your purpose. That's why you are the church, and that is also why you can't go to church, because you are that vehicle. You are that But somewhere along the line, something's happened. Something's happened. And I want you to know that this morning, that what happened is what's God doing in Dane's life to say, Dane, something's got to be different. This is all truth, your identity, your nature, and purpose. But something has to move. Something has to change. So I asked God, I said, God, okay, I'm in agreement, but what? And he directed me to the story, the prodigal son or the lost son, depends on how you want it to say it this morning. But we're going to look at that scripture next is, go ahead, John, you want to put that up for me? A spiritual gift is given to each of us as means of helping the entire church. I said that to you before, and you know that. You know you have gifts, you know you have talents, and you know you have passions for the building up of the church of Jesus Christ throughout the world, not just this local body, but this is where it can start. All right, John, go to the next thing. I want you to see this morning. It's time for you and I to come passionately back to the Father, I believe. Passionately back. Not with a half-hearted return. And I'm not going to read you the whole story this morning. We're just going to pick up in verses Luke 15 through 17 through 24. This is where the son decides, this is a story where the son decides, hey, God, hey Dad, I want half of my inheritance. And he gets his inheritance and he goes off and he squanders it on crazy living, doing what he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, because he's got the means to do it. And then he ends up completely dirt poor, eating pigs' food and feeding pigs. And he says, wait a second. This is not who I am. I've got to do something different. And so we pick up in Luke 15, 17 through 24. But when he, the son, came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up, he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they begin to celebrate. What does that have to do with being in the church? What does that have to do with being in the church? Guys, nothing can move us like an intimate relationship with the Father. Nothing can move us to being more than we are right now than being closely with the Father. And I believe that one of the things He is asking us of this morning is this, will you please come close to me? That so often we live our daily lives, I believe, hungry. I believe we starve so often, spiritually speaking. And one of the things to this story is He's saying, but come back to the Father and look what I've got for you. But we have to understand some things, John. The first one is this, who we are. I know I talked about identity and nature and purpose, but who we are, it's this simple. You can put them all up there, John, if you want to. It is this simple and so much more. I just picked four, okay? This is who we are, sons and daughters of the living God. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are more than conquerors. We are children of the King. Think about that for a second. Think about that in your life. What implications that can have in your life. That's who you are if you follow Christ. That is, those aren't things that are there when you feel like it, or you're having a good day, or you happen to think you were obedient. Those are unchangeable things. Those are things the Scripture says you and I are. And God is saying, I want you to realize your inheritance because I know that a close relationship with me will change how you do things. It will change your life. You are sons and daughters of the living God, co-heirs with Christ, more than conquerors. You are children of the King. You are children of the King. And nothing can change that. You should not only want that for yourself, to be just permeate your body, but you should want that for other people. Because one day, either you're going to be with the people you care about or without the people you care about. It's that simple. Heaven and hell hang in the balance all of the time. Next one, John. Whose we are. We're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The great I am owns me. An all-knowing, powerful, present God. He owns me. The lover of my soul. He owns me. He bought me at a price, a very high price. That's whose we are. And nothing I can do changes that today. That I get to relish in that truth all day long, every day. The Son who was feeding the pigs and hanging out with the pigs and living a very destitute life, he had to have a realization of truth. And that truth changed him on the inside out. It changed him. It touched him in his heart. Let me ask you something. When's the last time that you thought about your salvation, that it touched you, that it moved you? I mean, you don't have to cry about it. I'm just saying that it moved you. It inspired you to go tell somebody else. It inspired you to write down maybe what God has done in your life. That it inspired you to say, God, I want to be all into you like you're all into me. When's the last time that your relationship with God meant something to where it actually affected you? That it affected you? You need to ask yourself that question today. Because my relationship with my family, it does affect me. I love them. They love me. It causes me to think about them. My actions are affected by that love. So is your love for the Father affecting your action? If you were honest with yourself today, do you understand who you are and whose you are? Because it should affect you. Last one, John. And why we are here. We are here to glorify the Father. We're here to help others glorify the Father. We're here to help others know the Father and fulfill the Father's purpose to reconcile a lost world to Himself. That's why you and I have been left here to be this vehicle, this instrument, this priceless gift called eternity has been given to us, so therefore these things can happen in other people's lives. And so we can have that immeasurable joy today in our lives. Why we are here? To glorify the Father. When you start out tomorrow morning, think all these crazy suggestions for what they're worth. Maybe a good starting point was, God, Father, I want to glorify you. The Son knew something. The Father wasn't coming to where He was. The Son had to go back home. The Son had to return to where He knew the Father was. Our Heavenly Father desires that intimacy with you, doesn't He? Doesn't He? How has your life been lately? Have you been doing the things that keep you intimate? Are you doing the things that keep you distant from Him? He's not leaving you or forsaking you. I'm just saying the things that keep you from hearing His voice. What are you filling your mind with? What are you filling your time with? What are you putting your energy to? One of the greatest lies I believe the evil one has done to the American Christians is to get us to invest our time, our talent, our resources in stuff that make no difference. That make absolutely no difference. And I can be just as guilty as anybody. So I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about me. I spend a lot of time sometimes realizing that was doing nothing but spinning my wheels. And it was not doing that. But when I begin to do that, then even hard things can become easy because I'm not doing it for me. Why are you doing the things you do? Who are you doing those things for? Who's caused you to do those things? I hope so, Daniel. I hope God's doing the calling. So why we are here? To glorify the Father. Help others glorify the Father. Help others know the Father and fulfill the Father's purpose. John, last thing here for us to look at real quick. You see that? Let's come to our senses. This is the New Living Translation you're looking at. I had never looked at that sentence very carefully. But I want you to think about this in your life this morning. It says in verse 17, but when He came to the senses, He said, how many of my Father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger? I am dying here with hunger. Wednesday, March the 30th, Kathy and I will be married 20 years. Okay? Now, if I gave you the opportunity, you would probably have a lot of encouraging comments for me if I allowed you to speak, wouldn't you? Okay? And probably someone would be like, when is she going to come to her senses? Okay? But, on Wednesday, I just celebrate something that's already a reality in my life. Okay? Come Wednesday, I don't have to wake up Wednesday morning and tell her I love her. Because I've already been doing that, so I'm just going to tell her again that I love her. Yes, Don? I just finished it with, but I will tell her. So, but thank you, Don. I appreciate that. Thank you for looking out for me. What I'm saying is the relationship has been going, and hopefully it's been growing, because Kathy and I are not the same people we were 20 years ago. Thank God. Very seriously, thank God we are not. That we have hopefully matured some. So I don't have to wait till Wednesday morning to come to my senses to realize that I've been given a gift in my wife, in my son, my family, in the body of Christ. I don't have to wait for that. But how I use that gift, and I use the word use very generously there, in a good way, not a bad way, is my choice. Will I respect her? Will I love her? Will I take that relationship and say, you know what, we're doing good, we're fine. Look, we got 20 years together, and for those of you who don't know, prepare for the awe moment. We're high school sweethearts, okay? Some of you didn't know that, okay? So we've been together a long time. But come Wednesday morning, it does not give me the right nor the privilege to say we've arrived, that we're okay. We'll be good for another 20. First of all, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? It really would, okay? And I'm sure Kathy, who comes to her senses quicker than me, would remind me, hey, this relationship, I want to hear I love you. I want you to respond out of love. So this morning, my fellow church body, is how do you need to come to your senses? What do you need to do in your life that says, whoa, wait a second. I'm hungry for more, and God is willing and able and capable to fill me up and respond to that. Because if you really believe that heaven and hell hang in the balance every day, all day long, then you realize something, we don't have another day to wait. We can't get around to being the church in the future because we are the church. Our response should be out of obedience and coming to our senses. Like that young man did. And the father was waiting, wasn't he? His father was anxious for his return because he loved him. The father is anxious for your return, not to scold you, but to say, I love you, and let's do this together. So in a few moments, when you get to go out those doors, when you get to leave and go your separate way, none of these things become negotiable. None of these things change. Your identity, your purpose, your nature, it does not change. So it's wherever you go, there the church really is. You may have the privilege this afternoon to pray with or for somebody, to share with somebody this morning. But that phrase up there, let's come to our senses. It's nobody else's fault in America that the church is shrinking except the church's fault that it's not growing. It's not the lost. It's not the Muslims. It's not every other religion. The responsibility lies upon us. It's our responsibility to see the church be the church and to expand the kingdom of God. So this morning, your response will be told how to live, how you live out your life. That's your response to this morning. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're done. It's that simple. Your choice. It's time to come to our senses. On the way out, we got a basket back there. Some of you hang around. We got our baskets up here. You can drop your offering or your card in that. I would pray today that I we would take ownership of this. If I ask a lot of you that have been around a long time together about this body of Christ, I think you would use this word to describe it. Gift. Gift. Some of you would use the word family. Same, because you'd be using an uplifting way. Want to want the intimacy. Want to want to have all these things that God intended for you to do, but want the want to be the church wherever you and I go today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us enough that you are patient with us. You are so patient with us. Lord, I know we use the word grace and the word mercy a lot, but Father, if you weren't gracious and you weren't merciful, we'd be in a lot of trouble. And Lord, I would pray today that we would understand something, that your grace and your mercy do not run out. But, Lord, there are limited opportunities. And so, Lord, I would pray today that we would take fully every opportunity given to us. And Father, I would pray today that our value would be whatever value you're asking of us today. Lord, we bless you and we love you. Lord, we do ask once again, our brothers and sisters that are traveling this morning, be with them. We're looking forward to their return. But Lord, what I'm looking forward to most are the kingdom stories. And thank you that this week your kingdom was added to through our faithful brothers and sisters. We bless you and we love you. Watch over us as we leave now. In Jesus' name, amen.